coming to you from sunny Orlando, Florida. Welcome to the Paper Stack Podcast, where we cover current topics in the note industry, give you tactics for your note business, and talk with industry leaders to make you a better note investor. And now, your hosts, Brett Berkey and Rick Allen.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Paper Stack Podcast. I am Brett Berkey, and this is Rick Allen. We are here on a lovely Friday afternoon, or actually not afternoon, it's still before lunch.
But it's 10 in the morning. It's kind of afternoon.
Somewhere it's afternoon. But yeah, today we're going to do something very
special.
Before
lunch. I'm hungry.
Yes, he's been fasting for over 36 hours.
It's a long time. But it, you know what? I feel good.
I heard. Yeah.
I feel good. I haven't had food. You haven't had food because you don't even have a kitchen.
Yeah, I've been...
getting a new kitchen, it cracks me up. You're like, yeah, he's going to have it done in a week.
Yeah, that was... I feel like Tom Hanks in Money Pit. Like, what are they going to... 2 weeks? 2 weeks?
2 weeks. 2 weeks? 2 weeks?
It's been like... We're going on the fourth week right now. It's, oh my gosh, the guy's supposed to come and measure the countertops today. We'll see what happens.
If he measures the countertops today, you probably have another 2 weeks.
Yeah, so basically I'm camping in my own house. So it's kind of, it gives me an excuse to eat out every day. I've just been eating out and
I haven't been eating.
Yeah.
Two different worlds.
But so today we're going to do something really cool.
We're doing another one in the series.
This is my first note series, but as you can see, there's not... And guest that we're interviewing is me interviewing Rick about his first note.
And you know what? I think people have heard a little bit of the story, but they haven't heard the full story.
Yeah, you always touch on it, on how you got into the space and you get the call and all that stuff. But I didn't know. Is there more to the story? I don't know.
There's the backstory, then there's more of actually what went on. And then, yeah, just like how it all panned out.
Yeah, start from the beginning.
So I was just coming off of selling a company, leaving Investment Homes Direct. I had co-founded it with a couple other guys, and it was time to vacate that market. And so myself and TJ, we left and was going to play golf. And I had purchased prior, we bought so many houses from bank agents, REO agents.
Right.
And so there was this one in particular agent who, Patrick, but we called him Bagel. He sold me a lot of REOs or foreclosures during the 2008 through 2012, even on later on. And so he called me up. He said, hey, are you interested in buying a note? And I had looked at notes, and I had actually offered and had an offer on a note through a bank accepted at that point where the high school sits.
Oh, yeah.
That one, which people, I'm sure you've heard it. That's my too common mistake. I put an offer in with a small community bank on a note that was like, I was like $1.5 million, $1.6 million for, it was raw vacant land. And I offered, I think I offered $600,000, and they accepted it. And I was like, oh, man, I don't have $600,000. I don't know what to do. Ended up passing. I just didn't put the deal together. Probably I could have. I had somebody say they would give me the money, but I didn't put the deal together. Fast forward, whenever it went through foreclosure a year later, I think the school board ended up buying it for $4 million, and that's where they put the high school. Yada, yada, I messed that one up. Anyways, this guy calls me, my bank agent. He says, hey, are you interested in buying a note? I said, sure, I'll take a look at it. And it was a frame duplex in Winter Garden, Florida. It was on Park Street. And I was leaving the wholesale game that I sold my company and was doing the fix and flip stuff. And this was in an area that we had wholesaled a bunch of properties. So I knew the area. I knew Winter Garden pretty well. And it was something where we were selling wholesale properties for like high teens. If you got something in 19,000, 22, 21, it was going to sell quick. You're like, okay. So I was like, all right, sure. I'll take a look at it. So I went and looked at this property, and it was a frame duplex. Both sides, it was vacant, but both sides were packed with stuff. There was nobody living there, but both sides of the property were just
trash.
And wet.
Wet.
There was holes in the roof.
Leak in the roof?
It had been leaking in.
Oh, geez.
So it was just, it was like, I was like, oh my gosh, this thing is a disaster.
So that was going to be like a full rehab?
If I was going to rehab it, it was going to be a full rehab. So I had
done. Not a full rehab? I mean, we went by that house. It doesn't look like they did anything.
It was, you could put a roof on it and clean it up. Yeah. It was a frame house built in the 40s.
Yeah.
There's so much lipstick you can slap on that pig.
Yeah.
Anyways, I actually called a guy over. His name was Rishi. He's like Trinidad and Tobago guy. And he would do work for us, and he was looking at it, and he was like, oh, man, it's going to take this much work to do it. And I was like, okay. So I called the agent. I said, look, I'll give him $8,000. And I'm on the phone with him saying $8,000, and the phone just starts getting loud, and I'm like holding it away. I'm like, oh my gosh. He's like letting me have it over the phone. He's like, oh no, you're talking $20,000, $21,000. That's just where it's going to be. I'm like, dude, I'm not paying $20,000. He's like, maybe high teens. I go, tell him $8,000. So he goes, they're going to yell at me. I was like, Bagel, just tell him $8,000 and I'll compensate you. I throw you $500 or something extra on whatever you're making off of it. He's like, all right.
How much could you make it if you're only buying it for $8,000?
Nothing, right? I don't even know how he was going to get paid because he was a real estate agent. They're selling the note. So I give him on the phone, and literally he calls me back like a half hour later. Mm-hmm. And he goes, they countered you at $8,400. And I go, $8,400? He goes, I can't believe they're taking it. I go, all right, yeah, I'll take it.
Sold.
And for me, I didn't know anything about notes. I knew about notes, but I didn't know anything about notes. And so I was just like, okay, so $8,400, we've got a price. And now I'm coming from the wholesale game where I'm usually used to having 7 to 10 days to flip a contract or whatever. What are we going to do with this? I was like, well, I don't even know. I was like, we probably have to just close on it. So I was like, okay. Let's take a look at this and just do more research on it. So we started looking through public record, started looking at like the MLS, pulling up, say, what are the comps really in the area? Just doing, because I didn't expect to get it for $8,000. I gave him like the
bottom of the barrel. Hey, if I take it for this price, I'll do it.
Yeah, because I was like, whatever. So I gave him that bottom of the barrel price. And I started looking at it, and I was like, okay, is there a foreclosure going on? I don't even know. I'm so early in my life. I don't even know anything about it. I don't know. I don't know how to search any of this stuff. I don't know how to do any of that. Hmm. Right? I don't know how to check. I knew the property appraiser's website, but I'm not like, okay, how do I go look at the comptroller's website or go look at the county records, go look at the foreclosure courts?
Oh, you never used to do that?
No, I didn't really do that stuff. I just didn't do it. I was buying right from REO agents as I were foreclosure. It was by the time it got to me.
Oh, all that stuff had already
been done. All that stuff had been done. I didn't have to worry about it. We weren't really doing anything at the auction, so I wasn't having to do too much work. And any work I did do at the auction, I would just give it off to my title agent and say, here, tell me what's wrong with this. We went and started looking, and I was like, oh, look, the last person to... I pulled up the MLS history because I was a broker, and I'm like, the last person to sell the property was actually the owner. They were to sell it on the MLS. It was listed on the MLS. They were the selling agent. And I was like, oh, there's their contact information, which how hard is it to get somebody's cell phone number? It's not difficult. Right. You can skip trace them. At that time, I didn't do any skip tracing. So having a cell phone number readily right there, I was like, oh, perfect. There's a cell phone number. So I was like, make this happen. I'm going to call her up. So I called up the owner, who was the agent, and I was like, hey, I'm about to buy this note from this company, Condor Capital. And...
Oh, you hadn't bought it yet.
I literally had just told... I just had my offer accepted. I didn't even have a contract in my hand.
Unbelievable. This guy, man.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
You don't know what you don't know. You should never do that. I didn't know, but I did that. And I called her up, and I was like, I'm buying this property, this note. Are you interested in doing a deed in lieu of foreclosure?
Because it was going for...
It was a non-performing loan, so I knew there was... I knew about deed in lieu of foreclosures because I had gone through a foreclosure in 2008.
Yeah.
Whenever I started the company... Interest rates, I was in the wash. So I knew about a deed in lieu of foreclosure. I knew it was an option to get out. I don't know how it works.
You didn't do it?
I didn't. No, I didn't know anything about it. I just let it go. I was just like, pride, whatever, got in the way. So I got in there, and she's like, yeah, I have four foreclosures going on. I don't need a fifth. I was like, oh, really? Cool. She's like, but I have a partner on this deal. And I'm like, okay. And so I'm used to things happen like quick. When you come from the wholesale game, it's somebody wants to buy a property. They say they want to buy your property. It's the first one in with the deposit check, and the contract gets it. So stuff happens like this real quick.
Right.
This lady was like, sure, we'll get together sometime this week, but you got to get my partner to agree to it also, because I have a partner on the deal. The partner was like, she was a traveling nurse or a nurse that I couldn't get a hold of her for an eternity, like 3 days. I couldn't get her on the phone. And finally I got her on the phone and she was like, yeah, I'd love to sign us over.
Okay, so you got both to consent.
I got both people to consent. And in the meantime, I signed the contract on it and they're like, how long do you need to fund? I was like, 5 days? And they're like, okay, 5 days. You got to fund this in 5 days. And I go, okay, perfect. I get everything literally lined up with the current owner and then her partner, and finally get a deed in lieu signed. I had to have an attorney. I was like, look, I need an attorney. I need a deed in lieu of foreclosure. They're going to sign it over to me, and then we're going to sell it. I go and I wire the money, right? And I list it for sale the same day.
You didn't even own it yet.
No. And then I go and I get
them. You're listing it for sale on the MLS and you're not even.
I had a meeting that day to go get it. So I go and I get it. They both sign the deed in lieu.
Okay.
So we're done. I own the property. And I list it for sale. And the guy who was gonna do the work, Rishi, was like, I'll give you 19 grand. And I'm like, 19 grand's good.
Yeah, double your money.
I didn't have to do anything. And I was like, yeah, I think I'll take it. Let it sit for a couple days and see what happens. And immediately I started getting
offers.
And he's, I'll do 22. Well, I'll do 24. And he starts trying. He's, maybe I don't buy it and we'll just own it together and I'll do the work for free.
Mm.
And I'm like, holy cow. So I let it go and it ends up selling for 38,000. I think it was 38 grand.
How long after was that?
14 days. It sold within five or six days of me listing it.
Just on MLS?
Yeah, just on MLS. So I listed it for there. It sells in 5 or 6 days, highest and best. I get everybody in there. I get a cash offer, obviously, no financing, no inspection period. I just want it.
Right.
Close as fast as you can close.
Did you sell it to a flipper? Or?
I don't even know who the hell I sold it to. I didn't care. I was like, holy cow, we got this. So I sent it off to the title company, and I'm like, hey, I just picked this thing up. I sold it. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And the title company runs title. They pull it back, and they're like, we got clean title. We're ready to go. You need to show me that you own the property. And I'm like, I got the deed in lieu here. She's like, she signed a deed in lieu, but there's a mortgage. Like, where's the assignment of mortgage assigning you the property? I'm like, what? What's an assignment of mortgage? I sent them the purchase agreement. Like, this is a purchase agreement. I'm like, so I had to call up the people who
I'm Condor?
Condor. And I'm like, hey, where's the assignment of mortgage? They're like, oh, it's in the collateral package. I'm like, where's that? They're like, it's in the collateral department. I was like, when do I get that? They're like, you'll get it in a couple weeks. And I'm like, no, I need that now. I sold the property already.
Yeah.
I took it back. I sold the property. And they're like, what? I'm like, it took me about 14 days from the time I sent the money out until they sent me the collateral file. I took the collateral file to the title company because I didn't know what the hell to do with it. And I go, what do you need out of here? They're like, we need that. That's the assignment of mortgage. It shows that you're the mortgage holder. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, we're going to go ahead and record this. Then we'll record the satisfaction of lien and we'll do the closing. And so I had no idea what was...
Satisfaction of lien.
Oh. So you had to satisfy the mortgage, right? Yeah. So they have to assign the mortgage first into my name, and they record the assignment, which they had. Then they needed to write up a satisfaction because I had this person sign a deed in lieu of foreclosure. So they signed a deed in lieu of foreclosure, and yeah, everything just got recorded, kind of boom, all done.
You're lucky you were doing this in Orange County, huh?
Yeah.
Because it might have been slower someplace else.
It was in my backyard. You could get stuff recorded quicker if you walk right into the courthouse. Walked
into the courthouse in Winter
Garden? Oh, yeah. We walked down Orange County. You walked to Orange County and you get stuff recorded. I didn't do any of that because I didn't know to do all that. I just had the deed in lieu of foreclosure and I gave it to them. I said, they signed this. So it was a total hack job of a deal.
Could have done better.
If you look at it, it was like it's the most efficient deal I've ever done.
Yeah, but you saw it before he even had it.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
But it was one of those things where that was the first note. It was, we were in and out of it in 14 days, bought it for $8,400. There was closing costs, there was like past utility liens, there was past, which I didn't realize that I was responsible for because I took over the property. There's past due taxes.
Oh, shoot. Really?
Yeah. But the whole thing was like, I want to say it was like $3,300 okay. Stuff. So I think we were all in at 12 and change. So it was like, whatever. For me, it was like, look, we bought it for, so we were into it for 12 and we sold it for 38 and we did it in 14 days. And you're like, wow, that was amazing.
What was that return?
I was like, enough. It was, and I broke the calculator to where you're like, okay. So we immediately, TG and I looked at it, so I was like, dude, that was great. Yeah. And Patrick Begel actually ends up calling me a couple, 3 weeks later or whatever. He's like, how's that deal going? I was like, oh, dude, we're out of it. We sold it. He's like, what? I was like, yeah, we took it back, did this and sold it. I was like, here's $500. Thanks for it. You got any more?
Yeah.
And he was like, I can call him. Before he could even call that seller, Condor, once you get Condor, they would buy $200 or $300 million worth, and then just like, how quickly can I send it out? They probably paid $2,000 for that loan.
That's crazy.
And they sold it to me. They made $6,000, and they did it in, you know, a month or two, 45 days. So as soon as you started buying from Condor, you're on Condor's list, and Condor will then flood the shit out of you. Right. And so they flooded me with stuff, and then once I bought enough, I got assigned somebody, an asset manager, and the asset manager would be like, he would, like, Patrick Brimer, he called me
all the time. Oh, I remember Patrick.
Yeah. So Patrick called me all the time. He sold me a lot of stuff. So yeah, at that point, but once we did our first deal, we were like, that was easy. That was money. Let's do that again. But we first started calling around and just started talking to people. How's business going? Because word got around by that point that we had sold, TJ and I had sold Investment Homes Direct.
Yeah.
So just started talking to people. Hey, how's it going? What are you up to? Fix and flip stuff. Just rental, playing a little golf. Got a new kid. How about you guys? Nah, I don't know. I was thinking about playing with notes. You ever done anything with notes? They're like, what? What do you mean? They're like, nah, we're just buying foreclosures. I'm like, oh, cool. Started asking around and nobody was doing it.
And so this is own little honeypot.
So we got this own little honeypot. So then it was just like, okay, let's buy. And so we just started buying. But that was, you look back on it, you're like, holy cow, what all I did there that I would never do now.
Like, how many laws did you break? Or
I don't know, man. Dodd-Frank and like cooling off period and debt collecting.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
Reaching out to the borrower when I didn't own the loan, and then I had the permission from the seller. There was a lot. But if I didn't do that, we might not be having this podcast right now.
That's very true. That's very true. Yeah, wow. That's pretty interesting.
That was the first successful note buy. You got a 2-for-1 there. There was the failed note buy that I never pulled the trigger on.
That's a lot of money, especially you're younger, like then.
I know. You do those things when you're young.
So, yeah, because in case you screw up, you have enough time to recover.
It wasn't going to be my money. You're talking about the high school.
The high school.
It wasn't going to be my money. I had somebody that said they're like, yeah, I'll do it. But the guy, we had done some fix and flips with them when we had the wholesale company, and he was a builder. And we did a couple flips, and we managed it okay. Didn't manage the property, like, the timeline wasn't the best, but we didn't manage it poorly. But he came in, and he started showing up at the property, started talking to my guys that were doing the work. Next thing, he had all the money. Guy was a millionaire. Next thing you know, my guys are working for him, and he doesn't need me to bring him property anymore.
That's awesome. And who would have known? That property that sold to the county probably would have turned into a neighborhood.
You know what? It probably would have. But that ended up, no, it wouldn't have, because we would have let it go through foreclosure and it would have sold. But that guy, he taught me a lot, and he gave me a piece of advice I gave my kid. My kid's been, he wants to buy paintball stuff, and I'm like, he's got $100 in his checking account or bank account, and he's just, I just want to go buy these things. I'm like, dude, listen, this is what this guy told me. He was like, first of all, he told me to read the E-Myth. He's like, read the E-Myth. You need to read that. And this is back in 2000, and that was like 2010 or 11. He told me to do that. But he goes, if you want to buy something, he goes, treat it as a reward. Go make a bunch of money first and say, if I can do this deal, tie whatever you want to buy to a deal. And if you tie it to a deal, then you're rewarding yourself for getting the deal done. But also, you go and you make this money from doing the work, and then that thing you want to buy, you're like, well, I'm going to spend this much of that money on the thing, on the money I just made. He'll tie it to it. So that's good. I gave my kid that advice yesterday, but I don't hate the guy for screwing me over. I learned a lot from it. Wouldn't change my past. The only thing I maybe would tweak a little bit would be my first note actually buying that piece of property.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yes,
that I just didn't want to get screwed over again.
Yes, the school was right behind right near the place where we went to a demon house. That was fun. But that's all.
Yeah, there's a lot of different stories. We can start doing that. There's plenty of other. I got plenty of other.
That one was scared the crap out of me. There was a pentagram in the middle of that house. On this concrete and all the everything, burnt down candles, pictures of kids, and I was like, what the heck? But it was all fake.
Yeah,
that's a different story for a different time. But yeah, that was really cool, man. I didn't know all that, now I do. That's pretty interesting. So that's Rick's
first note.
Yeah,
that's the first note.
Cool. We'll be doing a lot more in this series. We've got a lot of people that are interested in this. And yeah, just stay tuned. We'll bring more on soon. See ya.
See ya.
Are you new to the mortgage note industry? Have you been wanting to learn the step-by-step process to purchase your first mortgage note? Well, you're in luck. We've convinced our CEO, Rick Allen, to break down everything he knows about mortgage note investing. Through a series of 50 videos, you'll get everything from start to finish of where to purchase notes, how to purchase notes, and all of Rick's investing techniques he has developed over the many years. From performing note tactics to non-performing notes, Rick gives you everything he knows about investing. Bonuses include our glossary of industry terms, Rick's own proprietary calculators he created to evaluate notes, discounts from our partners, our Rolodex of vendors, a private Facebook group, along with a lot more. We've packed so much content into the Academy to take you from beginner to expert in no time. To learn more about the Academy, go to academy.paperstack.com/welcome. Again, that is academy.paperstack.com/welcome.